All right, I'm not a narcissist, but I know that my loved ones, they smile when they see a photo of me and my beautiful child, whether it's a glimpse of the kids being silly, a magical moment from a vacation, or a sentimental memory from years past. Skylight Frame brings your favorite memories to life right in your home. So this holiday season, give the gift that keeps on giving: memories. Whether it's for grandparents who adore seeing the grandkids' latest antics, or a friend who loves capturing every moment, the Skylight Frame is the perfect gift to bring joy and connection into any home. It's also really easy to use. You can set it up instantly, share instantly, just a 1-minute setup. You don't need an app or a subscription. You get anyone, any age, can set it up. It also has this gift mode, the ultimate surprise. You can preload it with your favorite photos before gifting it. And then when your loved ones plug it in, they see all the special memories right there immediately for them to enjoy. It's better than social media. Skylight Frame is a great private way to share photos without sharing publicly or having to print hard copies. Come on. It also looks beautiful in your home with HD resolution. And for a limited time, you'll get 20% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to ca.skylightframe.com/hockey. That's right. To get 20% off your Skylight Frame, just go to ca.skylightframe.com/hockey. That's ca.skylightframe.com/hockey.
What's up, champs? Welcome to another episode of the Short Shifts Fantasy Hockey Podcast, brought to you by Keeping Carlson. I'm Louis Ezekiel. Joining me tonight, my pal and yours, Elizabeth, is here. How are you doing on this fine, fine Tuesday evening?
I'm doing great. I'm enjoying the busy Mondays. Maybe we just even the days out all across the week and we can have some fun with hockey every day of the week instead of those one game Monday nights.
Yeah, I feel like we are binging and then we have to take it way back, especially around the holidays. It was very nice, I think, for our show's purposes to have a big Monday with lots of action and lots of news. But overall, yeah, it's tough to have this sort of feast and famine schedule, especially with, American Thursday. We were talking about Thanksgiving, consumed by football. We're not going to get any hockey games on Thursday, but obviously Wednesday and Friday way over full. So even the best managers are going to have points left on the bench. Always a bit of a struggle there. The mental fortitude, I think, to not get waylaid by having some of those points on the benches is such an important skill for fantasy and life in general, I think.
Absolutely.
All right, well, let's jump right into it. We got a bunch of big news here to cover, a ton of injuries and outries, as well as some hot streaks to discuss. But we're going to start with some headlines. I have a bunch of alliterative headlines for us to start with. So item number one, holy helly, Connor Hellebuyck was just on one yesterday as he managed to help the Jets defeat the Minnesota Wild. He stopped 43 of the 44 shots that he faced, including 19 shots against from the slot. Overall, he had 4.6 goals saved above expected. The deserve to win-o-meter from Money Puck was way over in Minnesota's direction. The chart showing expected goals over time, vastly in favor of Minnesota as well. So a huge win for Hellebuyck there. He has been really solid, but that was a particularly spectacular outing. For a while, the Wild were on pace for 60 shots before they only managed, five in the final frame. So very good for him. On the downside, sort of the mirror image, David Rittich had the Hellebuck's was the best goaltending performance of the season, according to goals saved above average, while David Rittich allowed 7 goals on 21 shots, only faced 7 shots from the slot, 4.8 goals saved below expected. So a really rough outing to be sort of the mirror image of a really excellent outing from Hellebuyck. We'll get back to the Sharks a little bit soon here. But obviously, you know, Hellebuyck going to be owned in your league. Not much you can do about it, but we got to give him credit when it comes up.
Absolutely. I had both of these goalies and luckily not in the same league. So I'm looking really smart in one league with my Hellebuyck pick. He's on fire this year. Like, nobody can deny that. And he deserves his spot in that top tier of goalies. He was, I double checked, listed in tier one this year by Brian and Elon, along with Saros, Shesterkin, and Ottinger. And I think he's making a case for why he really belongs maybe a little step above some of these guys. He is fighting. Riddick, on the other hand, he was in tier eight, and I don't know if he's making a case for much there. So we'll get into him later, though, like you said. So I'll just give kudos to Hellebuyck. It's been a great season so far.
Yeah, and just quickly, I know they talked about it on the Mega Show, but yeah, LA has just looked really flat if it's not Kempe or Kopitar, you know, and especially until they put Brant Clark back on power play one, which the internet was just screaming about during that game. Yeah, I don't see a whole lot of good signs here. Obviously, they want to get you know, their crease healthy again, and maybe they can move in the right direction. We had another very nice alliterative, but maybe not super actionable adventure. Tell us about what happened for New Jersey.
Yes, stealing your trend there, we have our Hattie Heischer, because Nico Heischer got his first NHL hat trick last night in what was his 476th NHL game, just in case anybody was curious. Fun facts, throw it out at your next party. But not only did he get his hat trick, he got all of those goals in the second period, and only one of those came on the power play. That means the other two were at even strength. And he wasn't the only Devils player to show up last night. He's just the most exciting. They had an impressive 46 shots on goal while still having 23 minutes of penalties. So you could say that their special teams came out to play last night along with Nico Heischer. And yeah, as you mentioned, he is rostered pretty highly in Yahoo. He's at about 94% as of today. So your odds of doing anything with this information is pretty limited. But it is exciting, and it's always fun to see a guy have a really good game and do something new and exciting.
Yeah, I was actually surprised to see that this was his first hat. It was a natural hat trick, but he had a bunch of instances in previous seasons where he scored a couple goals in a game. So, yeah, pretty interesting that this was his first true hat trick, despite all of that shooting and scoring. Not a whole lot for Jack Hughes last night. Imagine he'll try to pick it up in the next game, but that may have been a little frustrating for his managers. I think he managed a single shot. Let's head over to Tampa Bay. Our last H alliterative headline, Hagel's helpers. Five assists versus Colorado, four of them in the first period. Eustace Annunen just absolutely hammered in this game. It did force Georgiev to go in cold. He gave up three goals on 17 shots. But they put Annunen back in for reasons unclear to really just sort of finish the negative points. Really, really rough outing for him. Obviously, I would imagine that Georgiev is going to get the next start and, you know, moving forward the majority. But yeah, Annunen has really kind of fallen apart a little bit here. Hagel is shooting in the high teens percentage wise. He has 9 points in the last three games and 26 in 20 games on the season. So that's really excellent. Again, like I said, that shooting percentage is high, but there's so much talent out there, you know, that he can go 0-for-5 on shots in the game like he did yesterday and still get five assists. So that's looking like a really smart pick, not just by Tampa Bay, obviously getting him on the roster, but anybody who grabbed him, especially if you're able to get him a little later than some of his flashier compatriots. And then our last alliterative headline, we did see a trade go down with maybe some interesting potential fantasy implications. Tell us about this move in Pittsburgh.
Yes, so we have our Tomasino trade. And I don't know how long we're going to be able to keep this alliteration up for, but I'll keep trying. Our Pittsburgh Penguins acquired Philip Tomasino from the Nashville Predators for a 2027 fourth round draft pick. Last year, he had 20 points in 41 games. This year, he had one assist in 11 games with Nashville. So you probably aren't super interested based off that, except he is expected to play on the second line with Malkin and Beauvillier. So I think that makes things a little bit more interesting. And it looks like he might even see a little bit of power play time on the second power play. So something to consider there. I know The time is usually a little bit smaller on the second, but something to keep in mind when you're looking for somebody soon. And if that isn't enough to interest you, he has some interesting history outside of Nashville. He had 6 points in 7 games playing for Team Canada at the World Cup. And while he only had about a half a point a game for his NHL period last year over in Nashville, he had 18 points in 22 AHL games. So he definitely has the talent there to kind of bring something new and exciting to these games that maybe he just wasn't tapping into down in Nashville. So I'm excited about this. Also, because I'm looking into my crystal ball of maybe things will get better and more interesting, we also can look at a couple other Nashville players who have moved on and found success in Dante Fabro over in Columbus. He's done great. He's been able to get 4 points in 6 games since going there. He was previously being scratched and didn't have any points. And of course, we've talked about him plenty. Kiefer Sherwood having a great season over in Vancouver also came from Nashville. So Lewis, tell me, am I being overly optimistic here, seeing what I want in my crystal ball? Or are you kind of looking at Tomasino as someone who could benefit from this change of scenery and turn this into something really positive?
Yeah, well, certainly hopping onto a roster that is not as deep and will give him maybe a few more opportunities to get some favorable minutes. I would definitely be a wait and see in this situation. I'm not running out to grab him, but if he can find some chemistry with Malkin, I think I might be interested. Obviously, the Penguins need to shake something up. They have been really dreadful lately. So, yeah, I think the Tomasino trade is a smart one. It is another former Predators player who is being dealt away, who seemed like a young guy with some, you know, real potential to him, which I think has to be kind of tough for your local Preds fan, perhaps. But, you know, it's part of the territory, and hopefully they can, you know, maybe do something with the pick there, or at least move on and give some more opportunity to someone who can take advantage of it. So definitely a wait and see situation for me. Not ready to jump on him quite yet. Let's jump into some of our injuries and outries, of which we have a ton. First up, Seth Jarvis made his return on Monday after being out, I think, 7 games. They were trying to shake some things up against Dallas, and it seems to have been productive. They did end up winning 6-4 with the benefit of an empty net goal and a really wacky bounce for the goal to take the lead, a shot by Natchez that hit Lyubushkin, I think, and then bounced off Ettinger's skate and went in. So interesting there, obviously. What's important, I think, is that he moved to that top line mid-game. He held the spot in practice on Tuesday, so playing with Aho and Roslovic, who's been very hot lately, although Roslovic did spend some time off that top line as they were trying to shake things around a little bit. Jarvis did score a shorthanded goal in that game as well. So nice for Seth. Hopefully you were able to get him back into your lineup and benefit from that. And another outry, way over on the other side of the continent. Tell us what's going on in Vancouver.
Absolutely. Brock Besser is returning to the Vancouver Canucks. The game is on right now, so no spoilers, at least, if you recorded it. He's been out since November 7th, recovering from a hit to the head. So exciting to see him come back, but he is set to play with Danton Heinen and Teddy Bluger. That means that for Kiefer Sherwood owners, he is staying on the top line with Jake DeBrusk and Elias Pettersson. And I think that's probably the more interesting fact out of this, because when you picked up Sherwood, you probably weren't expecting him to stay up for very long. And this is exciting news. He's really proved himself there. What I did like on the Besser return was Rick Tocchet saying that for our team, he's our scorer last year, this year, playoffs last year. So you're just adding a guy that can instantly add offense. And I have to agree with him. This is something that is good for the Vancouver Canucks. I think this will bring some of that depth back to them, especially if they can start splitting up some of these guys in a more even top six way. So I do expect a little bit of a shakeup here in that middle six as things progress. But we'll see how he's doing. Unfortunately, they did say that Max Saison, who got put down today, should remain game ready. So I think we'll see a little bit of a decrease in minutes if I had to look into my crystal ball. But otherwise, I think we're doing pretty good here. This is good news all around.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a couple add-ons there. For one, interesting that Besser was injured by one of the former Preds who did not go on to have a bunch of success in the aftermath, even though he was the one who was most expensive. If you recall, Tampa Bay paid a boatload of picks to pick up Tanner Jeannot, did very little for him, and went an injured Besser. So thumbs down Tanner Jeannot right now. The other thing that I wanted to mention was a shout out to Patty, who predicted that Jake DeBrusk would score in his first game back in Boston. He did indeed score on the power play. And unless things change, it looks like that could very well be the deciding goal there.
Watching a hockey game at home? Pretty good. Watching a game at a bar? All right. But watching a game live, there's nothing that beats it. And of course, you got to get a ticket if you want to go see the game. And that's where our friends at Game Time come in. Game Time has tickets for all events, concerts, shows, not just sports. And Game Time has a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats, so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. I'm taking a look over in Toronto. We've got the Blackhawks coming over on December 2nd. That's going to be a fun game. Always great to get a chance to see a future superstar in Connor Bedard. I love that you can look at the game. I can see, okay, if I want to really go all out, what's the best deal? What can I get for, like, you know, 100 level? You see the view right on the app. It's amazing. You get that. You can also look at what are the best, like the cheapest tickets, sort by like what's the best deal, like top 5% in value. Like, it's got it all sorted for you, so you can get the ticket that matches exactly what you're looking for. And again, like I said, I love being able to see the view of what exactly you're going to see. Game Time Picks shows you only the best values on tickets. They also have last-minute deals on tickets right up to the start of the event, and even an hour after it starts. They also have exclusive flash deals and sponsored deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. Like I said, you can get anything over on Game Time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time Picks. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code THPN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code THPN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. What time is it? Game Time!
It's mid-November, and you know what that means. We're about to get some Black Friday deals. And that's fun, right? You get to see what you can save money on that you might not save money on at any other time of the year. But the thing is, there's an exception to that rule. And that's Raycon, because you can get an amazing deal on premium audio with Raycon every day of the year. But don't worry, that doesn't mean they're not going to do anything for Black Friday, Cyber Monday. Far from it. They're actually doubling down on their amazing value by offering our listeners up to 30% site-wide. What? A Black Friday deal you'll appreciate every day? How about Raycon's everyday earbuds? They have a 32-hour battery life and multi-point connectivity. You can pair with two devices at once. They also have active noise cancellation for those noisy situations where you might be listening to whatever you want to. You want to listen to that, not anything else. It's hard to find stuff this good at this price point. And that's another thing. Raycon's quality rivals some of the biggest names in premium audio, but they start at just half the price of the other guys. And that's before you factor in that 30% off site-wide. So now might be the perfect time to scoop them up if you haven't already. And if you don't love them, Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So you really can't lose. It's time to save big for Black Friday and Cyber Monday. Go to buyraycon.com/THPN today to get up to 30% off site-wide. That's right. You'll get up to 30% off everything on Raycon's website when you go to buyraycon.com/THPN.
I did promise we would circle back to the San Jose Sharks, so let's head over there. We had kind of a surprise injury. Granlund was declared to be out right around, warm-ups time. So the top line was Celebrini, Eklund, and Zetterlund, and obviously they played extremely well against the LA Kings. Celebrini's really been something. I think he's probably owned across a lot of leagues that you might, hope to pick him up, but we'll talk about one of his line mates in Eklund, who has also been playing really well and is pretty widely available across Yahoo, at least. Not so sure about the Cupful. So I would expect the Sharks to be a little bit top heavy with the Celebrini, Eklund, Zetterlund top line. But if they can keep producing like they did, I think that'll be exciting. And I don't imagine there's been a ton of interest in San Jose Sharks players who are not either Granlund in that top line or the power play one defenseman who seems to continue to be Wallen here. So that is what we have got over with the Sharks. We also saw something interesting. There's been a lot of discussion about this player, you know, even potentially being included in a trade, maybe. All just rumors. But take us over to the Big Apple and tell us what's going on with the Rangers.
Yes, we've got Chris Kreider out with an upper body injury. It kept him out of Monday's game, and he is questionable for both Wednesday and Friday. This is definitely a wait and see, but if you're anything like me, an injury this week, you're kind of sitting there looking at your lineup and going, can I fit somebody in if I put them on the IR or not, or is it worth it? So just something to think about if you are going to stash them, maybe just wait and see right before the game. I know sometimes that's hard with personal lives and schedules outside of fantasy, but that would be my advice is see what they say right before the game. With Chris Kreider out Monday, Alexis Lafreniere got the call up to power play one. Very exciting for his owners. Well, the middle six looked very interesting. My good streaming friend, Will Cooley, who I streamed in and haven't let go yet, was on there with Mika Zibanejad and Brett Berard. And then we also had Adam Edstrom, Kaapo Kakko, and Riley Smith making up that middle six sharing time. Also, I have to mention, because I think he is a fan favorite across the league, Matt Rempe got the call up and got to play Monday night. It wasn't anything fantasy worthy, but he is a fan favorite, so we got to talk about him. Going back to our regular scheduled programming of who you should be looking at, though, New York plays all the busy days for the rest of this week, as most of the teams do. And knowing that Kreider should be back soon, you're probably not interested in anybody that you wouldn't have already been interested. I kind of left my list at looking at Alexis Lafreniere and Will Cooley. But like I said, I was already interested in them. I'm not really digging into this Rangers lineup and trying to pick somebody up just in case. With Kreider being out, anything interesting to you there, Lewis, that I might have missed?
Not especially. I don't, you know, Edstrom is kind of whatever. I like Cooley getting to play with Zibanejad. I feel like that could potentially be beneficial. But yeah, not a whole lot of thoughts here. And like we said, you know, with Kreider just day-to-day, he's a pretty tough guy. He takes a walloping in front of that goal more often than not. So I imagine he'll be back on the ice before there's anything super actionable. But yeah, nice for Lafreniere to get some power play one time. Yeah, and hopefully he can really make something of that while he has his opportunity. Let's jump over to Anaheim. We did see an injury to Leo Carlson. He left the game and did not return. Conveniently for Anaheim, they do have Mason McTavish, who made his way back into the lineup. McTavish took Carlson's place with Killorn and Zegras at practice, and Zegras played with power play one both during the game after the injury and then at practice as well. I mean, it's a little bit of an improvement for Zegras, at least in terms of playing on power play one. I would rather have Carlson centering him than McTavish. We've talked about Anaheim. They've got the schedule, but, you know, getting extra games from players who don't do a whole awful lot is not super exciting. I don't know that I would be looking to run out and grab any of these guys. Maybe Zegras for a bit since he's getting that top power play time if he is available in your league. But I would say stick that to the deeper leagues. We still got a bunch of injuries to discuss. Let's jump into this one here. There was a lot of consternation on the internet the other day because we saw a kind of scary video of this injury that took this player out. Tell us a little bit about the latest about Peter Kochetkov and the crease in Carolina.
Absolutely. Like you said, there was a lot going on with this. Kochetkov is following through with that concussion protocol, which means we have no timelines for him returning. We've talked about this with other concussion cases. There is no set timeline. We don't have a magic board where we can look and be like, oh, the last guy was out for 2 days. This guy is going to be out for a week. So we're just going to have to wait and see what happens with this crease in Carolina. But right now, it feels like it is not going well at all. Like, that crease is not somewhere where I would want to be. They're not having a great start. They had Frederik Andersen out. He's recovering from his knee surgery. And that's leaving the team with Spencer Martin and Yaniv Peretz. And I'm sure that once he hits the ice, we'll find out that I mispronounced that as per usual. But for now, that is what the internet told me. So let's yell at the internet. Martin has 3.21 goals against average this year and a .870 save percentage this season. Peretz, playing over in the AHL with the Chicago Wolves, has 2.67 goals against average and a .825 save percentage. Honestly, this is not pretty. I would not be looking to go for either of these two. They don't interest me at all, but they are what Carolina has. So that is what they're playing with. Hopefully we'll see a lot from their defense. Hopefully they can kind of pick it up in other areas, or one of these guys just takes off. But right now, this is not a pretty picture that we're painting over in that crease.
Yeah, Carolina's advantage, obviously, is that they can score. They've got great offense and scoring up and down the lineup. We'll talk about a hot player a little bit later who's pretty widely available. He might be interested in for that reason. I did try to talk Elon out of grabbing Martin. Unfortunately, it was too late. Although my pick, Varlamov, did not do any better against the vaunted Red Wing offense. So I suppose I can't talk too much. It did seem like he could, Kochetkov, potentially be back considerably sooner than we thought, considering the amount of concern over that video clip where they were kind of shaking him after he got run into, and he didn't seem to be super responsive. So obviously that would be great news so long as he is healthy. I hope that Carolina will take their time as much as is necessary, of course. Another kind of interesting, not an injury that took a player out of a game, but Mark Scheifele did not take a faceoff during Monday's game, which leads some people to believe that he might be struggling with a hand or wrist injury. Not bad enough to keep him out, but just something to sort of keep an eye on. You know, he could be the kind of guy who maybe is suddenly taken off for a late scratch. So make sure you are paying close attention to who is lining up for your team. Just, you know, generally good advice, but specifically I would be watching out for Scheifele because he may be suffering an ailment of some kind. Just four more injury updates here. Take us to your hometown in Edmonton. Tell us a little bit about what's going on with Victor Arvidsson and Zach Hyman, please.
This is some sad news for my Oilers fans. They are both out for at least another 5 to 8 days, which means they've been ruled out for the upcoming road trip. They will not be playing in Utah, Colorado. And I am guessing this is even harder for Arvidsson owners to hear than someone like me who's got Hyman, because he was considered 50-50 to play over a week and a half ago. And I mean, Hyman was expected back for this road trip, so don't get me wrong, it's sad news, but it's one of those things where we just never know where an injury is going. But when you hear a guy is 50-50, you kind of expect him to be back soon. And not hearing that he's coming back right away is a little concerning, but I did find some hope in all of this because Coach Knobloch had some time with the media today or yesterday. And on Arvidsson, he said, if we were in the playoffs, I believe he's playing. I think he would push through this. So as far as I'm concerned, we're just making sure he's extra good and he is ready to come back soon. And that is my Oilers optimism, which we know I'm a little biased, so I'll admit that. The other thing I can admit is both of these players had a rocky start to the season, so let's wait till they're back. Let's give them 100%. In the meantime, we're going to watch that rotating cast of people in the top six. Kapanen got to play on the McDavid line on Saturday, and things looked really good out there. We've seen a lot from Pod Colson. He's really stepped up with this Oilers team. So with only a few games before their expected returns, a lot of busy days, I wouldn't jump on any of these people on the rotating cast. You probably don't need to. If you are looking, though, Pod Colson would be my pick for the back-to-back on the weekend. But again, I'm an Oilers fan, so take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah, I'll keep Pod Colson an interesting option by not picking him up. I did grab him for the cold streak, and then as soon as I dropped him, he was on fire again. Some more help coming for those folks who drafted Austin Matthews or Patrick Laine. Both are skating. Obviously, the Matthews injury is still shrouded in mystery, but it does seem like next week is a possibility for Patrick Laine. Martin St. Louis said as much. That this week is probably unlikely as he starts to get back into skating, but it's a pretty pretty nice recovery time, and I'm sure the Montreal offense will really appreciate having a shooter of Laine's caliber come back. Speaking of a team that has needed some punch, let's go to Buffalo for an important outry.
I am so excited about this one. Tage Thompson is coming back, and we need him back if you are someone like me who drafted him in two leagues. Hopefully you are. I am so excited about this. I would have loved if they would have kept his IR status until Wednesday so I could keep using that streaming spot, but I'm happy to have him back, so I won't complain. This is a big shift for Buffalo. He will get his regular deployment back, which is exciting. He should get back on the power play, and I think they gave him the time he needed to get healthy. So this is an exciting comeback for me. And then he does get the Thursday off like everybody else, so he can rest and get better. I don't think there's much else to say. We all kind of know what the Buffalo lineups look like.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can mention Dylan Cousins has been kind of appealing. We talked about him as a nice option while Tage was out. He's playing on line two with Benson and Krebs, but still getting power play one time. Alex Tuck was demoted from power play one to power play two, so a little bit of a downside for his power play offense, but you imagine having Tage back as the center could also be very helpful for him at even strength. So, yeah, I wouldn't be too quick to move on from either of those guys. Hopefully we can see a little bit of a rejuvenated offense. One last quick injury, and then we'll take a short break. We got another late call that Mike Matheson would be out for Tuesday's game for Montreal. That meant Lane Hutson played on power play one. And that Jaden Toaster Struble was able to get into the game as well. Nothing exciting for Hutson, but Struble did manage to score a goal, so good for him. I don't imagine a lot of people jumped on him since Hutson was much more the hot ticket and, as opposed to, you know, a lower pair defenseman. But there you go. Sometimes that's the way the bounces go. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. We'll be back on the other side with a couple hot and cold streaks. You're listening to Short Shifts.
The 2024-25 NHL season still has that new car smell, and the action is heating up at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. It's super easy for first-timers to get started at DraftKings Sportsbook. Try betting on something simple, like picking a team to win. You can also pick on a player to score a goal. You can bet on a whole bunch of things. And if you're new to DraftKings, listen up. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if your bet wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN stands for the Hockey Podcast Network, for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets if your bet wins when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/ice.
Welcome back to Short Shifts. Elizabeth, just a couple hot and cold players for us here as we round out the show. I'm going to get started with a guy who I picked up and have been unable to drop thanks to injuries and even worse players, but I'm glad I did because Dmitry Orlov has got himself a 5-game assist streak. Very consistent, one assist per. He's taken 12 shots over that span, not a whole lot to show for him, but he's been a really good depth option. The Canes score a lot and from across their lines, which means it's more than just those top defensemen who are getting in on the scoring. I've enjoyed having him. You know, once things start to slow down a little bit, I'm sure I'll be ready to move on for him. But as someone who, you know, half of my drafted defensemen were injured, you know, within the first 3 games, it's been very useful for me to find depth wherever I can, whether it's Sanheim or Orlov. You know, Rasmus Sandin has been, you know, a nice add. So, you know, just thinking about where you can add these guys who will give you some depth, I think is valuable. And Orlov's been on a nice little streak here. So if he fits into your schedule and if he's a guy who could be potentially useful for you, go ahead and add him. This guy is probably not so available, but he has been really on one. Tell us a little bit about your next hot streak here, Elizabeth.
Yeah, we've got Brandon Montour, the Seattle Kraken, and I'm full of the fun facts today. So with his goal on Monday, this marks the first time in his career that he's had 3 goals in 3 straight games. So again, we're going to have some fantasy trivia one day, and this will come in handy, I promise. He's played in 21 games. He's got 15 points, 69 shots on goal, 32 hits, 21 blocks. So he is showing up for you wherever you have him, wherever you need him. I would be excited to have him on my team. Unfortunately, I don't. He's also playing with Jamie Oleksiak right now, which is exciting. They seem to be doing well. I like it. I mean, he's hot. He's getting the opportunity while Dunn's out. He's using it to show his value to the team, saying, hey, I'm here, I'm willing, and look at me go. And I think that's what you want when someone's out, is for these guys to really step up and do well. Now, the sad part of this story is that Dunn is projected to be back soon. They haven't really given a lot of updates, so we just have to go off that kind of initial update of 6 weeks, which does put him back in shortly. But I think that with Montour, he's really showing that he belongs up there, and he'll still get a lot of that time if he's lucky.
All right. Yeah, definitely. Good for him. You know, really a disappointing season last year after he was so hot with Florida. So nice to see him, you know, live up to some of his offensive potential. Another guy living up to his offensive potential lately, William Eklund. Again, a guy that I you know, really took off after I dropped him. He was getting like 14 minutes and the coach was saying things like, we really need to see more from Eklund. Well, you're seeing more. 2 goals, 8 assists over the last 8 games. He's been playing 20 or 21 minutes on many of those nights. He does only have 10 shots in those last 8 games, which is a bit worrisome, but he does seem to be deferring to some of the shooters that he's been lined up with. And that obviously is working well for him. So keep dishing, Will. Seems like things are going nice for you. With Granlund out, he was playing on the top line and on that top power play, just 22% rostered on Yahoo. Maybe we're starting to see the Sharks turn things around just a bit. They've been producing some more offense than what we've been used to seeing lately. Maybe some of it is that they're beating up on some opponents who are just checked out a little bit, but it's been nice to see. And if he got dropped in your couple division, he may already have been snapped up, obviously, because he's been on this nice run. But, you know, see, maybe you can... maybe you can make a move for him. This would be a classic Elon buy high, but if you think that he has the potential to pick up the shooting a little bit more, or if Granlund's going to be out for a while, could really be a nice opportunity for him to get an extended look next to Celebrini, who just has been absolutely outstanding when he has not been injured. One more over in the hockey capital of the world, or at least that's what they would say. Tell us a little bit about what's going on the blue line in Toronto, please.
Yeah, maybe this will bring them a little bit back to earth, because this is a cold streak that we're going to talk about over in Toronto. And we're going to talk about Morgan Rielly. With just 1 assist over his last 5 games, he's not looking so hot. It's winter, it's cold up here, there's lots of snow, and apparently he's freezing up too. Hopefully he starts to thaw out soon. He is still shooting. He's had 13 shots over the last 5 games, so he is still trying to get out there. He is still on the power play, which is exciting. So we're just going to have to live through those ebbs and flows with the defenseman there. And D scoring is always a little up and down, if you ask me, for most of these guys who are on these power play lines, but you kind of want to see it produce just a little bit more, especially somewhere like Toronto. They've got a couple of people out right now where he could really be filling in and kind of making magic happen, and it's just not happening. So, like I said, it's cold over there.
Yeah, I think you just got to hang in there a little bit. You know, with defensemen generally, you're going to see periods where they slow down a little bit. Yeah, hopefully he can right the ship. And certainly, you know, with Matthews potentially returning, that could be good news. Although, of course, they've been playing very well without him. And many pixels have been spilled talking about that particular topic, especially how Marner has really taken off. All right. Well, that has brought us to the end of our show, a madcap dash through all of the news. We did pretty good. We did not hit our short shift's goal of being under 30 minutes, I think, even after Elon edits out a couple pieces. But, you know, I think we covered a lot of news about as efficiently as we could. So really nice work, Elizabeth. As always, a pleasure to work with you. Can't wait until our next opportunity. Of course, you can see Shams on Thursday. I believe he's going to be joined by Derek, as Jeremy will be doing some American Thanksgiving things. If you enjoyed the show, please consider joining the Keeping Carlson Patreon group at keepingcarlson.com/patron. Super supporters receive ad-free episodes. You can interact with Brian, Elon, the Short Shifts crew, and hundreds of other talented fantasy managers on our active Discord server. I spend way too much of my time there, but it's a blast. I love talking about hockey over there. Check out Game Day Tweets to get all the best info from Twitter. You can follow us on Blue Sky at Short Shifts Pod. And please visit Game Day Tweets and all the other great sites we use to research our episodes at Yahoo, Frozen Tools, and Natural Stat Trick. Our intro and outro music was created by Pat Roach. And until we see you next time, play smart and keep your shifts short.